1 Chronicles chapter 28. David assembled all the princes of Israel and all the mighty men, and he stood up on his feet. He's now an old man, and he said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. As for me, it was in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and I had prepared for the building. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you are a man of war and have shed blood.'" Wait a minute. Yes, it was in God's it was in David's heart to build a temple for the ark, but God said to him, "I don't want a temple, thank you. I will build you a house. I'm quite happy for my ark, the symbol of my presence, to dwell beneath curtains, and I never asked for anything else. All these years I have travelled in an ark, and I prefer to dwell in the hearts of people. And you don't have to do anything. I will make you a house, a family, that will turn into my eternal kingdom." David comes down very small before God when Nathan says that to him, and he says, "Oh, wow, thank you." But I think you know how it is. You can come down very small before God when you're sick or when you have a crisis, but you've got to stay small, because you can then get lifted up in your own mind, in your own heart. And I think that's what happened to David, unfortunately. He did get lifted up, and he goes back to his obsession with building this temple. And so he then says, "But God said to me, 'You can't build a house because you've shed too much blood.'" Well, is that really what God said? What's recorded is that God gave him a totally different set of reasons as to why he did not want David to build him a temple. So it's possible that, like us, you can have your own hunch about something, your own narrative, your own idea that, "Oh, I want this to be true." And, so you say, God said this. And you look at some of these books that claim to be written by people who say that God gave them a message. It's really them saying what they would like to be true, but then saying, and God told me this. And I fear that David in his old age became so obsessed with this idea of his son building a temple that he came to imagine that, well, he couldn't build a temple because he'd shed so much blood. That was not the reason God gave him that's recorded. That's what David says. And he says, "Moreover, Yahweh chose me out of all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever." Well, God did choose David out of his brothers. You remember, David was the youngest. He was out in the field, and all his big strapping brothers came before Samuel, and God said, "No, not one of these." It was the obscure young shepherd boy who was chosen. But he says, "God chose me to be king over Israel forever." Well, no, he chose David to be king over Israel, but forever? No, David was to die, he was told, and sleep with his fathers. But in the future, there would be a descendant of his who would be God's son, which we know applies to Jesus. So I think he's starting to overestimate his own importance, and he's so obsessed with Solomon. "For he has chosen Judah to be prince, and in the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. Of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon my son to sit on the throne of Yahweh's kingdom over Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon your son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever, if he continues to do my commandments as he does at this time.'" Well, that's not recorded that God ever said that. And the promise that "you shall have a son or descendant who will also be my son," well, the angel Gabriel quotes that to Mary and says, "This is now fulfilled in Jesus." So I suppose it could have been that Solomon could have been the Messiah. He could have had a long kingdom, maybe an eternal kingdom, if he had been obedient. But he was not obedient to God's laws. So I think that David treated Solomon as his favorite son, and he got the idea that, God wants my favorite son to be his special king. Well, actually, that's just David saying this. God himself didn't say that. He told David, "When you're dead, I will raise up your descendant after you, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. Well, that was really talking about Jesus. But David so wants Solomon to be this eternal king, and so he puts all these expectations on his son, his favorite son, Solomon, sort of love child that he'd had with Bathsheba. And I think that didn't help Solomon. And children are not helped by their parents having these great expectations on them and putting their expectations upon them, because Solomon grows up arrogant and he never got any sense of his own weakness or his own possibility of failure. When he becomes older, his wives, he marries unbelievers, they turn his heart away from God. Anyway, so David says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, and in the audience of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of Yahweh your God, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. You, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Yahweh searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts." Wow. God searches our hearts, that is our minds, and understands our imaginations. It's not just that God looks at our behavior, things we do. He looks at what we imagine. And a lot of our thinking is about fantasy, about imagination, of me doing this or them doing that. God searches all that out. This is why being spiritually minded is so important. This is what it is to be a believer, to be a Christian, to think in the right way, because God is so interested in this. "Take heed now, for Yahweh has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch of the temple and of its houses and its treasuries and the upper rooms of it and the inner rooms of it and the place of the mercy seat. And all the pattern of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of Yahweh. Well, I think these plans are, as it says here, what David had in mind. And he then gives him all the gold that's needed to make all the different things, etc. "All this," said David, "I have been made to understand in writing from the hand of Yahweh." Well, that's a little bit suspicious, because he says, "All this said David, God told me." The fact it says, "But David said this," rather suggests that this is just David claiming this, because we have just read that this was all what he had in mind. It's what he had in mind to do. All the pattern, verse 12, of all that David had in mind. And then he says, "Yeah, well, this is what God told me." So these plans for the temple, I think, came from David. But he says, "Oh, yeah, well, God told me this." Because God had said, "I do not want a temple. I don't live in houses made with hands. I live in human hearts, and I don't want you to build me a temple. I'm quite happy with the ark remaining beneath curtains. I never asked for a temple. I'm not asking for a temple. I will build you a house." So you just see that you can get an idea in your mind and you can end up saying, "Oh, this is what God says." This is why it's so confusing sometimes, that there's so many people who say they believe in the Bible, but they all believe such wildly different things. A lot of that is because they simply are not guided by the text of the Bible itself, but rather they get ideas in their own head and say, "Oh yeah, and this is what the Bible says."